Hey everybody, welcome back to the Ben and Noah Show. I'm Ben Sofer.
And I'm Noah Liam.
And today we have a very special guest for you. He has a music background from our alma mater, Emory University. He is Mr. David Sale. Woo! Thanks so much for coming, David. How are you doing today?
Doing good?
That's right.
You always need a breath moment to evaluate all the pros and cons to say, oh, it's a night good.
Extremely wise words from David. We just want to say thank you so much for coming onto this podcast and, you know, spending your Saturday, you know, just chatting with us and getting to, you know, share your stories with our audience and with us as well. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's get right on to it.
Yeah. So we met in a theater class.
Yeah.
Right?
We met
in a theater 120.
Yeah.
I remember you were getting back into, you were sort of starting to get back into acting, I remember.
For sure.
Yeah.
That was my first that was my first ever acting class.
In senior year?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then
wow.
That was my first theater thing since high school, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
So what about that gap in between? What was
going
on there?
Well, that goes with behind the cameras. We were talking about why did I study business and why did I go to Emory, things like that. I think there's a big gap between what I wanted to be versus how people wanted, or how I perceive myself versus how I was perceived by others. Sorry. That makes sense.
No, that makes complete sense.
Yeah. And I think I just was impacted by what other people thought a lot. So yeah, in high school, I played a lot of sports. I was a lacrosse boy.
Oh.
I played that very, very, I took that seriously. But music has been in my whole life growing up. I played guitar since I was 7, started singing through musical theater in 8th grade.
Yeah.
And I kind of hid that. I loved that throughout my whole childhood, even in high school. And I knew that I wanted to do that more, but I kind of folded.
Mm.
And ended up going to the school that I academically got into. And I studied business because at the time, I thought I hated school. So I picked the easiest major that would make the most money after college.
Oh.
That was business.
Gotcha.
That's exactly.
Not the only one. Yeah.
I mean, it's really cool how you kind of got back into theater. We met, I think, sometime in maybe your junior year, my sophomore year or something, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Before that, there were some camps that we went to, and I got to see David.
Shout out, Brad.
Yes,
yeah,
shout out, Brad.
Yeah.
I got to see David. The first time I really kind of met David was I walked into this a building, and the first thing I hear was his voice, and he was singing, practicing just some chords and stuff, singing a few hymns, singing a few songs, and I was just wow, this guy's a natural performer, a natural singer. Breathwork was crisp. And it was just he wasn't even putting any effort. He was, I think you were taking your guitar, and you were just strumming a few chords and just hanging out, warming that voice up. And every night he would take the stage and he would just come on the room with his voice, with his energy, and with it was wow, this guy's a natural born leader, a natural born singer, a performer. And I was just okay, cool. I was at that time in Oxford, in the Oxford campus. David was in the Atlanta campus, and so I was just okay, this is a really cool guy. I'm sure he is a performer of some sorts, and I'll probably meet him soon. Cut to me moving to the Atlanta campus in my junior year.
Actually, we had a conversation around the campfire one time.
Oh, wow.
You said you did theater.
Yes.
I told you about how I wanted to get involved. You were telling me all these different clubs at school that I can get involved, and I knew of them. I just never, but yeah, cut to that.
We
talked about it. Yeah,
we did. Oh, that was nice. Good memory. Because that was a blast. I had a really good time, and David was very easy to talk to, and I was just okay, I really want to get to know this guy better. But it's also we were in different circles at that time. Kind of just it was just a short moment where we passed each other, and I was okay. Bummer, I want to get an excuse to get to know this guy better. Junior year, senior year, I think big, one of the biggest things that we started connecting on was when we did Little Shop of Horrors together. Like, was that a significant turning point.
That was a good show.
I really enjoyed it.
I wasn't in it, but it was a great show.
David, tell a little bit about the experience of that.
Little Shop?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for all the compliments first.
Of course.
I was like, what am I supposed to say to this? But, yeah, I love seeing him playing guitar. Little Shop. I guess we'll start. Okay. Let's just start with
auditions.
The whole business.
Business.
In, like, year one. So what happened?
Mm-hmm.
In high school, I was a lax bro, mainly. Cared a lot about, like, being perceived a certain way. Because my town was a small town in Gainesville. Well, Gainesville, Florida's not its smallest town, it's a college town. But other than University of Florida, it is very small. Like, half the population is taken by students, you know?
Yeah.
And it is a very, like, man, play a sport, drive a truck. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Not much, like, racial diversity or diversity of interest much either. So, sports was the thing. And I am an immigrant from Korea. I moved when I was, like, 11 and a half. So when I first got here, it was obvious that I was out of place. So to fit in, I played a lot of sports and acted very tough. And the music thing just did not align with that. Because if I did that, that's soft. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But towards the end of high school, I started picking up that, like, this is a thing that I really love. I was inspired by theater. Sorry, jump back in time. In seventh grade, I watched Wicked.
Oh!
And when I was 13, I remember looking at
Wicked where?
Like, on Broadway. We visited New York, my family, because, like, immigrant family, you gotta come to New York City. I see.
My family did that, like, 100 years ago.
Exactly.
My family did that too.
Ellis Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, that's what I want to do. Hence why I started singing in the 8th grade. And then I did a theater summer camp. That's kind of where it started.
So that one trip catalyzed everything.
Yeah, I mean, guitar was in the back pocket. I just grew up, my brother played the drums, I took piano lessons, I grew up, like, around music, and it had nothing to do with who I was other than the thing I knew how to do until probably seventh grade. Yeah.
Wow.
Dang. So that was the catalyst, though.
Yeah.
Wicked. Shout out Wicked.
And it stuck with me until today, you know. Yeah, so in high school, I was torn between, like, am I gonna, like, do this, pursue this?
Yeah.
I love it. One, like, I have the resources and the skills to be able to, like, audition or whatever. Two, or do I, like, kind of feed into, like, what your parents expect, what your friends expect, of, like, go to a good school. I mean, the school rankings were a big thing. I wanted to be, like, intelligent also, you know. And then I decided to go to Emory. And then decide to do business, kind of forget about.
Yeah.
Not forget, I don't know what I was thinking. I think I knew that I was. I think now I feel. No, this is a whole different. I'll get that. yeah, so I went to Emory. What happened was I sang and I did theater and I played guitar. These two things did not exist together. But I had a girlfriend in high school, and then right before I went to Emory, we broke up. I'm in the dorm room playing guitar a lot, and just, like, there's so much time, like,
yeah,
we couldn't go outside, so I'm inside alone a lot.
Did you wait in this way?
I think that's COVID.
You started during COVID.
Yeah, August of 2020 was my freshman year.
Sheesh.
So I started writing my feelings, poems. I would put them into a melody, I guess, because I sing, but then I decided to put the guitar on top of it. So that's when the two things came together, and I started practicing that a lot. Hence why I started going this, like, oh wait, I write songs, I'm a singer-songwriter, and I love poetry. I took a poetry class in 10th grade, loved it. It was, like, a basic intermediate poetry, but that's where I, like, got all my inspiration for all the songs that I write today, now too. So it started building like that. I didn't think music was gonna find me in that way during college, because I was studying business, and that was not a priority. Like, I chose that. Yeah, so Little Shop.
Yeah.
I was doing more music things on campus. I had a friend that performed with me throughout, like, Emory events. Like, I would do, like, open mics around the city, whatever. but it didn't fulfill me the same way that theater did. Like, I was like, this is great, but it does not solve the itch.
And you were in an a cappella group as well.
An a cappella group. No, it did not solve the itch at all. Nothing did it. And I was like, I have to do theater before I leave college.
So what was it about it?
Theater?
About theater, yeah.
I think it all comes down to like, the thing I like about music is that somehow the person in front of you feels exactly the emotions that you did when you wrote that, if it's transferred correctly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just wrote it, and you might think it's stupid, but when you sing it, and you sing it with your heart, the people in the audience can also feel it. That's the art that music itches, and theater's just that, but then there's a boundary of like, now do it with this character and tell the story. And it's all three aspects of like acting, dancing, singing, plus all the blocking, the whole community aspect of, I think it's the community aspect. You're working with a team. You're working with, everyone's on stage. Everyone's interacting with each other. You're working with the director. Music to me still today is like something I do on my own. You know, I can write things, put it on the guitar and sing it, whatever. So I think I missed that,
Yeah. It's also interesting because like in a show, when one person messes up, everyone is like, kind of, we're all like tuned in at the same time. And it's sometimes when you see a really good cast, they like cover for each other. They're like one unit. We're almost like all like, we understand everything. Like we're all on the same like plane of existence. And I think that's really, really cool about that. That community aspect in a sense, but also just everyone like aligning together, wanting the show to succeed, knowing what the show is, and like, that's why like sometimes people say like, oh my gosh, like this show means so much to me because when I performed it in the past, I had so many good memories with my castmates, or you just have this weird like, you know, close bond with your castmates because you guys were like rehearsing together, you were spending so many nights and just like being in this, working with the same material together. I think that's just something like, that's something different about it. Just like how, you know, some clubs have also like a closeness to them because, you know, the amount of time you spend together and the amount of effort you put in something that you're passionate about and that you love, that you all love like producing and making together. I think that's like, it just makes a really close bond that it's just like, you can't really get
elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's all just a large culmination of things coming together. I mean, you're all essentially just in this like, this giant like, you know, pressure pot, and then to see it all come to fruition.
Yeah.
That's how I always felt, and just to see it all in retrospect.
I like that.
But yeah, so you made that, you saw like the auditions for Little Shop, and you just decided.
It was, so the first step I took was to take that acting 101 class. And then
that was first semester of senior year, is that for you?
Semester of senior year, that was the one step I took towards theater. I was like, this is what I'm gonna do. I don't know about a show, I don't know if my time will allow that, no other commitment, but I have a lot of credits to spare because I took a lot of classes throughout the years. And let me take something that I did design it where like senior year, I had a lot of space. So one of the classes was acting 101. And I remember one day, a professor that is very well known now came in with a flyer and said, by the way, Theater Emory is doing this spring show. We're having auditions. I was like,
That's awesome.
You know something that I remember from when you auditioned? I wasn't in the room when it happened, but when you were doing the... I had a brief stage manager stint for the musical theater club. And when you were in it for Ad Hoc.
Uh-huh.
And I remember...
Oh, for the Ad Hoc audition.
Yeah.
No. Not for that. For the Ad Hoc audition, I had a similar reaction to Noah. I was like, damn, this guy knows how to perform. But like, I remember... We had a rehearsal that was around the same time as when the Little Shop auditions were. And most people, so there was a lot of anxiety going on because a lot of people, there was a lot of turnover between those two. And so there were a lot of people
from Ad Hoc who were really nervous about their audition, whether or not they would get it. I remember you had your audition, and you came back around the end of that rehearsal, and I was like, how'd it go? Or I was like, how'd you feel about it? And you were like, great. And I was like, what the hell? Like, I've never seen that confidence before in an audition. Like, I've nailed auditions before, but afterwards it was like, no, I could have done that one better. I've never seen someone say that with, like, conviction like that. I was very impressed by that.
Interesting.
I remember that, yeah.
You felt good about the audition.
And it came off as, like, a confident, good thing instead of, like, oh, this kid's a freaking confident.
No.
It didn't come off as arrogant at all. I mean, no, it was, and, I mean, clearly, I mean, you got it. You were Seymour.
Yeah.
I think there is something about being sensitive to, like, the feeling. Like, I love all art because of that. Because, like, if you really pay attention, there is a truth that, like, a heart never really lies, you know what I'm saying? When someone feels a certain way about a certain person, like, let's say we enjoyed a conversation,
mm-hmm.
unless sometimes it happens, but most of the time the other person felt the same way, you know what I'm saying? If I really enjoyed sharing that, and I can tell that, like, we both share that feeling, and I think that's what I felt in the audition room. Like, I remember singing, and I sang with my heart out. I sang for the first time the songs that I have just been singing in my bedroom for years, practicing for something, and then I could see that the director was like, wait, do that again with this. And it wasn't like that was bad, do it again. I could tell he was like, wait, I want to see more.
Yeah.
See? That makes the cut.
Yeah. So I do remember being like, the room felt good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I felt good, and
that's a great feeling as an actor. I mean, I've had it. It's a great feeling when you have that that level of certainty about it. Yeah.
And so diving into your experience throughout the Little Shop of Horrors production, how was it for you? Was it up to your expectations? Because I mean, it's been like since high school, So
yeah.
Sometimes it can be like, you know, things can adjust. I think.
I'm gonna go ahead and say Little Shop was the greatest thing I've ever done in my life.
Hell yeah.
Woo! Like, literally the single greatest project I've ever done in my life. I would not give up the world for it. I remember distinctly telling my roommates, who are my best friends at Emory, I worked at an internship in Atlanta in brand strategy consulting. So it's like a cool brand consulting. It's not typical consulting. Pays the big bucks. Good office culture. A good internship. And I came back from a 9-to-5 day and I'm just drained. Like, I remember being a dick to my roommates. Just feeling like mean and drained. And Saturdays we'd, for Little Shop, have 10 to 6, 10 to 7 rehearsals sometimes.
Yep.
Consistently. And sometimes after school day we'd stay for another 4 hours till like 10 p.m. And I'd come back home and I'm filled. And that was like, I remember that. I was like, okay. That's a difference. Same hours, same hard work. One fills you, one depletes you.
Yeah.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And it was also like phenomenal production in all around. Like, there was like the team, they were working with the production team, I think. Like, it just felt like they really, really wanted to hear what we had to, you know, the actors and the cast had to say. It felt like we could contribute as well. And also amongst the cast, it was strong.
Yeah,
like the bond between the cast was really, really strong. And I just felt like there were so many people, like, even after the productions, just like, many of them actually would continue to pursue theater in one way or the other. And I think it's just like really, what a great experience. Like, there were so many people in there who were so talented, and we all came together and kind of saw through this production to become a really successful one. That we had like sold out nights every night. There was a long wait list every night. People were giving each other tips on how to get into the actual room itself.
Yeah, I remember,
you know,
that
it was,
there were just lines.
It was
like 50 people. Yeah,
extremely successful season. And what a way to go out with a bang. I mean, look, that was the last production of the year. You know. The last big one, and it's just like, it was a really wonderful experience. And then, you graduated.
Yeah.
And then what? So what
that
were all
the
these?
That was the best segue ever. God damn. Okay. Sorry. I was like thinking about it. All right. Anyway, sorry. Carry on.
You graduated. So what were all the? I mean, some of the thoughts you were having when the days were nearing to the graduation date, and after that as well. Like, what were the things that you were thinking about? What were some of the things that you did to end up
here? So talking about how I viewed myself versus how others perceive me,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
the gap of like what I want to do versus what other people want me to do, I would say senior year was the closest I had ever felt to who I actually am. That whole year was just so awesome. I got to experience, I had an identity as a student,
mm-hmm.
which is honestly like a cushion. Like, you get to say, I'm a student. That's the thing I do. You don't have to prove yourself in any other way. I'm still figuring things out, but you belong to this community of students at a school in Atlanta. And I had all the communities that I needed in terms of sports. Like, me and some of my best friends started a spikeball group our freshman year.
I remember.
It became
yeah.
a really, really big thing on campus, and that was, like, my community. My best friends ran it. And then Bread, which was another place where I was like spiritually community and like just like filled with like generosity that they would show and learn that and
love that.
Such a place. And then I was taking acting classes, I was doing theater auditions, I was writing more songs than ever on my own. It was just like, it couldn't have been better.
Yeah.
I was going on weekend trips to like the mountains with my friends because we felt like we had time. We weren't pressed by homework. Yeah, and then senior year, so many things happened, like signs, like Little Shop, just that was like a God moment to
mm-hmm.
me. Like the audition, like you said, that was like a supernatural moment that I felt like. And then I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, just say it.
Yeah, and then like right after the audition, I actually got a text saying
mm-hmm.
we want you to be singing. They were like, I know you're saying this because I know you're in between that one or another
mm-hmm.
show, which
mm-hmm.
I was auditioning as well. And they're like, don't do that show, do us. Literally, they're like, if you say yes, we're going to lock you in. And then
yeah.
I didn't say yes.
Yeah.
I was like, let me think about it more. And that's like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And then that spring, right before we started rehearsals for Little Shop, I drove up to North Carolina for two of my best friends they were chefs at Duke. So they had a restaurant project that they were doing at school as well. And they had a big like end of the year event where hundreds of people came and I played music there with one of my friends. And then right after I came back to Atlanta, there's this open mic at Eddie's Attic, which is like a big famous open mic.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually do like, it's really hard to sign up for the open mics because it's so far booked in advance.
Uh-huh.
So I had booked this, I think, like 9 months before the open
oh,
mics.
Wow.
I had set this date. Because it's so hard to get a slot. And then it's so cool. You become a finalist in that open mic. And then the finalists go that night at the end, play more songs. And then you get a winner. And the winner gets a cash prize and they get invited back to
wow.
the shootout. Where all the winners from all the open mic nights
oh, that's sick.
In a round of like 32, and the winner of that has been John Mayer, Tyler Childers. Like, these kind of folks kind of started there, and that February, I won an open mic night. And then last November, I actually went back to do the whole
wow.
Shootout thing too. But, so there was so much momentum.
Yeah.
And then Little Shop, and then being Seymour and like working with the cast, so I really thought these were like
signs.
Genuine signs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I graduated. Summer was great too, just adventure. I went on a van trip with some of my best friends
mm-hmm.
for a month. We camped. I went to Korea to see my family. I had best friends come visit me in Korea, and then I moved to New York in August after summer. I came to New York without a job. From my experience in like consulting, I thought I didn't want to like do that as a career. And otherwise I was working really hard senior year to like get a job, but nothing lined up. I remember over the summer there was one that lined up, but I just couldn't make it back in time to start the date. It's like, that sucks,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not gonna like leave Korea time with my family for
mm-hmm.
that, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I moved to New York, new place, rent is nuts, no job. Dreams to do music. I think first I was like, I have my guitar, I have my voice, let's market that. I was in a new relationship at the time, so that was a new thing. And then my best friend gets diagnosed with cancer like 2 weeks
oh
into
my God.
Coming to New York.
Whoa.
So many layers.
Wow.
And then senior year of college, my parents moved back to Korea. So my family is 3,000, or
yeah.
many thousand miles away.
Talk about a 180.
Yeah.
Right.
Damn.
So yeah, my first 4 months, I somehow found a restaurant job at a friend who was friends with a guy who owned a small restaurant in Lower East Side. Shout out. It's a Romanian restaurant.
Oh.
You guys should go. But I got a job there as a server. It was not enough money or hours. So I remember...
Like part-time?
Weird. 38-ish hours
oh,
a week?
Yes.
Yeah, just like...
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So I also worked catering jobs at that time,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of people do.
Yep.
I also worked door shifts for a church I went to.
Like
and
opening the door?
Right. So they have another building that they rent out for other churches and nonprofits. It's really cool.
Gotcha.
Like, they own this building, but since... people that aren't part of the church come in and out, someone has to like check their identity and stuff.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
and
yeah.
doing that was like a paid gig.
That
so I remember doing that. I was playing gigs at like bars and very small, like here and there, sums of money. No, just like, I don't even know what would I, no, just like small gigs. There's a lot of things
just
like that in New York.
Open mics or just
no. like where I'm paid and I'm a musician on the set.
Yeah.
And that's how I was making money for the
yeah.
first 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so stressful. I was working evenings. My friends have a traditional like 9-to-5 job, so I wasn't able to hang out with them
because
mm-hmm. they hang out on the evenings and on the weekends. That's when I worked. I wasn't getting to, I didn't have the mental space to do more art, so it was counterproductive because I'm here to do that.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to. So, and then the best friend thing and then the long distance relationship thing is still going on. So it was really tough.
Yeah.
The first couple months. And then winter hits too. It's just like New York winter sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess we'll get to experience
that. Nah,
yeah. yeah, so that was the first season. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a bit of a
yeah.
sudden like huge change
mm-hmm. yeah.
from post graduation. And I think that's I wouldn't say that I went to exactly what you did, but I also felt like, oh, there was like so many projects and stuff that I was doing in my towards the end of my senior year, and then I'm like so excited, like, ah, oh, there's so much to do and so much to like it's just gonna keep going and it's gonna keep being kind of like the same thing. I'm gonna go to this new place and it's gonna be the same thing as well.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah,
that, exactly.
And then you get kind of we'll get a bigger sample size in the future, but perhaps there is a similar thing about not just in New York, but people moving to LA, people moving to Atlanta, people moving to other places in the United States where it's
that's
like post-graduation.
It's funny you include Atlanta in
New
York, LA, Atlanta. Kind
of, I don't know, replace
yeah.
it with
Chicago.
Chicago.
Ooh,
great,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
But like, I mean, maybe it's just that like, you know, in college, everyone is like asking me like, join my club, join, do this,
mm.
do that, do my projects.
Mm.
And here is like, you are the one who's like asking, can I please do
yeah,
your project?
Yeah.
You
that's
know?
True.
Yeah.
And I think that sudden shift can be a bit of like a, oh, am I chopped? Am I waste? Am I, is my waist, did I peak? Like, you know, and then question yourself like, oh, am I on a downhill now? Is this in the past now? Like, is what all I experienced, was that in the past?
It's common. No, I
yeah.
mean, it's a huge adjustment.
I think I felt like, yeah, it was rough for the first few
yeah.
Months here. I'll still say that there are some days where it's just like, oh, it's like, I'm not doing what I like thought I was going to be exactly doing. It's not like what I pictured in my head when I was a senior.
Mm-hmm.
And so that difference in expectation versus reality can sometimes be a little consuming if you let it marinate in your head and not talk about it and just like let it chew you on the inside out. How did you get, so after this first four months, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, did things change? The winter though, the winter, right?
So the winter sucked.
I mean, you're in the city, people aren't outside. Unless you have been here and like know what happens in the winter and you have friends that are on the same page and you have places to go.
Yeah.
That isn't just like outside in the park, because we can do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
People will be there, it's nice. But winter, that stops. So winter was really a depressing time.
Is that isolating?
Isolating as well, for sure. Just like, and I was also on a different schedule than my friends.
Yeah,
so as it got colder, so I decided to quit that job, the serving job.
Okay.
I decided it was just way too, like, I never had a consistent, this is how much I'm going to get in my bank account thing. So that's kind of what I wanted. I have this business degree from a really good school. I can leverage that.
Mm-hmm.
The next job I got was even worse.
Damn.
But I got a consistent paycheck.
It was a...
The financial stuff, I got figured out. So I worked at
mm-hmm.
as a sales.
The gym?
Yes. As a membership salesperson. So however much, however many memberships I sell is the commission I make. We get a very, very base, very low... says a lot about pay as a base,
uh-huh.
and then you get commission on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
The hours were terrible. I was working on weekends, and they took themselves so seriously. Like, it wasn't flexible like the restaurant job.
Oh.
Restaurant job, it's, you do it, and you work weekends, because sometimes when you can't, it's fine, right? But this job is like, no. And like, holidays were PTO days. Holidays were not PTO, sorry, time off days, where you're not paid.
Oh.
So we didn't get holidays. They had to work on Thanksgiving. Cause like gym closed on Thanksgiving.
Okay, I guess that's true.
I never worked.
The grind never
stopped. I wasn't there. I my first day was actually December 31st, but I did work on January 1st.
Damn,
it's just crazy. Yeah. So that was a.
That was a sacrifice, because you were like, okay, consistent pay with like the bonus. I mean,
mm-hmm.
not counting the bonus, but then hours sucked even more, seemed like.
I would say that killed my creative another 4 months. What am I blocking? The math is not mathing. Another like 3 months.
Okay.
I worked that job
the
for 3 months.
It's not mathing.
Yeah, I didn't write music. I was not performing. I was not meeting with other people. I was just surviving for those 3 months. I think the second day I went to work, I knew I wasn't gonna be there, like immediately. So I actually was on LinkedIn half of the 9 to 10 hours I was working.
Mm-hmm.
I was recruiting on LinkedIn, which is how I got this job.
Okay.
So that was a really, really rough period around like late December to March.
And while you were at that gym that you were working, you were looking for other places, and then, what were you looking for though? Because like, I mean, you can be looking for just any other job, or what was that?
And I gotta say, I folded again. Like, but honestly, this time folding wasn't terrible, because I am living more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm closer
yeah.
to, I'm getting closer. It's giving me the right ingredients to whip up the thing that I want to create, you know?
What were the right ingredients?
Right, so right now I have a job that's salary, consistent pay, allows me to live in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tech company, so they treat their employees really well, good benefits,
good.
Unlimited time off, which is not a thing. Like, you gotta like kind of
don't abuse
play
it.
Right.
Yeah.
I've heard scams say that. Unlimited paid time off. Yeah.
It was a company that's pretty known in like the tech world in terms of, it's just, and then they like give lunch on certain days. They always have avocado.
Nice.
Toast.
That's
snacks,
that's not cheap.
All the drinks, espresso machine, like in the office.
Oh.
people are nice. And then I get to work like hybrid.
Oh,
so I can
beautiful.
Work 2 days remote of the week, 3 days in the office, which allowed me to go to the places I needed to. And like.
And this was 9 to 5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And frankly, yesterday was Friday. I like went rock climbing at 3. And then I logged back in for a little bit to finish off work, but like it's really nice, you know? That's. I hope my manager doesn't
see that.
But like above all else, like it, like the salary obviously is important for, you know, New York and just
mm-hmm.
living in general, but like you got some structure back.
Right.
You have something consistent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been basically getting used to in the past 5 months. I've had this new job for 5 months. So if you add up all the time, 4, 3, 5. One year.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so that's what I'm getting back into my rhythm. I'm starting to feel good. I'm starting to write music. I'm starting to perform yesterday at a gig for the first time in a long time.
Woo!
I'm meeting people, doing like more creative projects, jamming with people. Just got a gym membership too.
Hey.
I haven't been like consistently.
No.
Hell no.
Yeah.
I think things are really looking up. I moved to a place that I feel more like me. And like the people I'm around, the aesthetic, the shops are really cute and...
Wait, that's great. So, okay, wait. I want to say, while you were like transitioning between those jobs and figuring out that during that first year in New York, I want to delve a little bit more into like that isolating feeling that you were experiencing, especially in the winter, but like maybe, I don't know how it was like throughout the early months as well, but... Did you come in knowing what were your groups that you came in with? Did you come in with people that you knew very well, or
yeah.
was it just like...
Yeah. Yeah, I did. So, my roommate is one of my best friends from home in Florida.
Right, yeah.
We knew each other since middle school. I also came in with, I shortly mentioned earlier, like, my two Duke friends that did the restaurant thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was really, really close with them. So, through them, I knew their whole friend group.
And
that, a lot of that friend group moved to New York.
Gotcha.
So those are the friends I've consistently connect with. I also like got plugged into a church when I first came here pretty quickly, hence the door job and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my community, and it was good. Like it still is. They're always going to be some of my close friends, but it doesn't itch certain needs that I have of, like, who am I going to jam with? Who am I going to... do projects with, who's gonna dream with me about this kind of stuff. So that's work in progress. I'm meeting people one by one. I mean, even doing this with you guys is like so awesome, you know.
I think that's the beauty of New York though. Like it may be a bit difficult at the start where you're like you're coming in with like a couple of people that you do know, but like you're still like trying to find your place, you're trying to find your community and stuff. And it's just very it's different from where you were before. And sometimes it can be like, oh, I missed what I had, maybe in senior year. Maybe I missed like the community that I had, or the people that I could jam with, the people that I could do art with.
Yeah.
And then coming here, it's just like, we're in different circles, we're in different spaces. And sometimes you have friends that you know who are in New York, but just living so far away, you are like not
right.
gonna see each other that much.
Yeah.
And thinking about work, thinking about all these things, those all these factors like play a role in like making you feel like you're not in the community that you have right now, or you haven't found the community that you have, and that can feel a little bit. It can be a little bit like, I don't know. To me, at least, it made me feel a little like sad, a little depressed for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and then I started meeting more people, and through people you make friends through them too. And I think just saying yes to like a couple of things that you may be initially telling yourself like, I don't know if I want to go to this thing. I don't know if I want to go to this event, for example. But you never know who you might meet there that might become like introduce you to their friends, who will introduce you to their friends, and then that you create that little like line of networking, and then you find the people that you really want to like work with and to
mm-hmm.
do art with and to work on your passions together. I think that's what's so beautiful about like life in general, but also New York City is just a great place to kind of do that. And I don't know, how do you feel about that?
I agree, and to be completely honest, I mean, what you're describing, I mean, like you said, you know, the 4 month period, the 3 month period, mm-hmm. like where you are now. I mean, like, we've all sort of had that adjustment, like, in college a little
yeah.
bit. Like it still took time to get that to get our grounds there. And then, like, I remember I experienced this, like, my senior year, I really hit my stride, and then
mm-hmm.
it was like the carpet got pulled from under me, and I was like, well, damn, now I'm here, and I'm like, what the hell am I gonna do? But it's like anything, it's an adjustment, and it sounds like from what you're describing, it sounds like you're doing, you know, exactly what you did at Emory, which is, you know, you're experimenting, you're
yeah.
getting your grounds, and it looks like you're about to fly, man. So
yeah,
that's what I'm reading. So
yeah, it's kind of cool that the point is that, like, we all, I don't know, it looking back now at that year, like, you didn't know what the timeline was gonna look like during that year when
yeah.
you first were entering into it, and didn't know it was gonna get more rough at that three four month mark. You didn't know a lot of things that were gonna happen, like that's gonna be an up afterwards as well. And sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you don't see the big picture of, like, okay, you know, you're still figuring things out. You're still
yeah.
creating those networks yourself.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you can get really lost in the sauce of, like, just like, oh, I made the wrong choice.
Yeah.
Or I just am not doing this right. But yeah, do you have anything to, I don't know, say to some to the folks who are, like, talking about, maybe there are some students who are in Emory right now, right? For example,
yeah.
who are thinking of moving to New York City in the future.
Yeah.
And do you have any, like, words of advice, something that you want to, like, part to them? Any kind at all. You know, you can think for a bit, we can cut.
Actually, I don't know about words of advice, but
mm-hmm.
one thing that I'm learning in New York, I think it's a very New York specific, or maybe any big city where there's just so much, so many people, so many opportunities, so many everything around you,
mm-hmm.
so many restaurants, so many buildings. And I'm learning this right now, but yes, we've all heard the statement, like, comparison's a thief of joy.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really, I'm learning more and more. There's a rule, there's a practice, it's religious or not, but in Christianity they use this practice called rule of life. And it's basically setting your, I mean, I don't know the exact definition of it, but I took it as, like, there are pillars in your life that you know that you need to fill, right?
Mm-hmm.
That fills you. So you write them down, you plan them out, exactly how it's going to look. And you leave space. Part of those pillars is leaving space for uncertainty as well, right?
Yeah.
New York is such a place where, if you look around, there is so many opportunities. And easily you can just be whipped by all of them. Because
that's true.
Yes, saying yes is great. Yes, the next thing, the other thing, doing everything is amazing. But at some point, that bar you played a gig at, of course there's a better venue.
Mm.
Of course there's a bigger show. But that's the best thing that you have in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That friend you have, of course there are cooler friends that wear cooler clothes and do make cooler art, you know what I'm saying? But that is your friend in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It is really about choices that you make and not being so whipped by everything that's around you.
Yeah.
Because there are so many choices. So I guess what I'm saying is, take those opportunities and use it to fill you. Use it to fill what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of all those opportunities becoming something that you need.
Mm.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Because with all these opportunities, sometimes you can feel like, oh, I'm not actually, like, jumping
exactly.
into every single one of these opportunities.
Exactly.
Because
you'll never ever do that in New York.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a better romantic partner. There's always going to be a friend that's cooler. There's always going to be a job that's cooler. A restaurant that's better. A gig that's cooler. Whatever. But I don't think that's how...
Yeah, it's also not healthy to just be like, everything I need
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
man,
it's so easy in this city.
Yes,
it is
very
so
easy.
Because there's so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's so many people. There's
right.
so many things that are happening. There's just like, you're like, oh... I'm doing this thing, but I know someone else who told me that they were doing that thing, and
exactly.
then I could have I'm not doing enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You should take the opportunity to keep yourself grounded, but not overwhelmed. Making that distinction.
Yeah.
If that's what you're.
Well, you know, it's very insightful and also to like hear your journey like through with theater, like throughout your life with art and everything, and how much it had an impact on you, and also how you are like your relationship with it. You know, I always think about those lines, you know, that artist drew like lines with like you and like other things, aspects of your life, and how like sometimes you like, for example, like your parents, you are like close together all your life, and then as you get older, you go out and down, up and down, and then, you know? But I think it's just really cool to see that kind of drew it out to us about your relationship with art, your relationship with your passion and music and theater, and to see that it's not always going to be, like, linear, it's not always going to be, like, oh, we're tight the whole way through, or that's what true passion is, but it's a complicated relationship.
I actually have a really good thing that I'm gonna carry with me for the rest of my life. There was a panel of people that I went to. There was this creative workshop where three like people that are very successful in their area. One of them was like a Broadway actor. One of them was like a big name design person who is really big in the commercial like animation industry.
Yeah.
And the other person was a musician that was really big in like the R&B scene. And it was basically a Q&A session going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And of course someone asked like, what would you say to the people in this crowd? Ask the Broadway actor. Their name was like Elizabeth. Or, I don't know. Whatever.
plenty of Elizabeth, so.
Yeah,
that's
true. asks, so what would you say to everyone here that is on the verge of giving up as an artist? You know?
Ooh,
like, how are you going to encourage us? Like, what is
that's
the word
a
that you're
fastball,
saying?
Man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was fascinating. I'm sure they wanted encouragement of like, keep going, it's right there, you know, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
And she picks up the mic and she goes, oh, quit. And everybody's like, what? And I was just like, wait, what the hell? Like, what's going on? And she's like, quit. She's like, just because that one idea that you have in your mind of what your success and your art should look like is not happening, does not mean art is ever going to leave you. She's like, if that isn't working out, that's not for you. Quit that, because art is not going to leave you. Because just because you're not on Broadway does not mean you're not an actor, you're not whatever. There are other things in this world that's waiting for you. Maybe you're actually pinpointing your eyes so tunnel visioned to that one thing that you're blocking off yourself from other possibilities.
Wow.
And they're like, I have quit so many times in my life that that is the only reason I'm here.
I sure am glad that she expanded on that point.
Yes.
I was worried that was going to be it.
Thank you so much for your time as well. This is like,
thanks, Lauren.
It was amazing hearing about everything.
This is why we do this.
Yeah,
this is exactly why we do
this. And
this
is what, and you know what? Thank you for so much again. Once again, for being on our show to talk about your life experience and to just, spend your Saturday night getting to know us and also for us to get to know you, David. Give it up for David Seal, everyone! Yeah!
Thank you. That's our episode. Have a good one. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me.